This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Tax reform on hold. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, December 1st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Senate Republicans have postponed a vote on a tax bill after analysis found the proposed tax cuts would not pay for themselves. Find out what could change in the measure.
A San Francisco jury has acquitted an illegal immigrant of murder and even assault in the shooting death of Kate Steinle. Hear the key argument by the defense.
The Trump administration is letting rumors continue to swirl about the future of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson.
And what flyers can expect over the coming holidays as airports ramp up security.
Well, I think things are changing. Because of some really bad test results that they had that just came out recently, they're starting to make changes, and they're going to accelerate some other changes.
Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney on how we'll be affected by more airport security over Christmas and New Year's. He's here in about 20 minutes. Senate Republicans have hit a delay on their tax reform legislation, forcing them to postpone a vote until possibly today. The problem developed late yesterday after a report from the nonpartisan Joint Committee on Taxation said the plan would not meet the party's goal of paying for itself through stronger economic growth. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Without exaggeration, I believe that if this bill passes, it will be remembered as one of the worst pieces of public policy in decades.
Now lawmakers are focused on the permanent reduction of the corporate tax rate from 35 to 20%. The Wall Street Journal says one possible outcome is that the corporate tax rate would start at 20% and then rise in increments in later years. Georgia Senator Sonny Perdue.
Lower the corporate tax rate. I'm sorry, anybody can debate this and win. We have to become competitive with the rest of the world.
The move could shrink the size of the tax cut by at least $350 billion over a decade, potentially dampening some of the economic growth Republicans said they're trying to create. Speculation continues to swirl that Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is on the way out, and the Trump administration didn't do anything to stop the rumors yesterday. The New York Times says he could be pushed out in the coming weeks, replaced by Mike Pompeo, the current CIA director. Here's State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert.
The White House statement confirmed that there will be no personnel changes. It is a fact that Secretary Tillerson serves at the pleasure of the president, as we all do, as does every political appointee and cabinet member.
Mr. Tillerson was at the White House yesterday morning to attend Mr. Trump's meeting with the Crown Prince of Bahrain. If Mr. Pompeo takes over as Secretary of State, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton is said to be the favorite to become CIA director. The Wall Street Journal says Mr. Trump and Mr. Tillerson have struggled to mesh. The president privately calls his chief diplomat too establishment, while Mr. Tillerson's audible sighs and eye rolls in private meetings with Mr. Trump betray his frustration in the job. Any idea what your company would do if it receives a tax break? Would it hand out the money to owners and shareholders or use it to reinvest in the business, say for raises or new hiring? Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman has been sampling what executives are saying. Rick, what have you found?
This is a really important question. What will businesses do, assuming they get the tax cuts that seem pretty likely to pass Congress within a matter of weeks and perhaps by the end of the year? Will this money just go to the owners of businesses and the shareholders of businesses? They'll put it in their pocket, buy another yacht or another mansion, or will they actually do something productive with it from the perspective of the whole U.S. economy, hire more, invest more, and perhaps boost growth by a little bit? A really important question, and it's hard to figure out. So, we have a lot of business owners as part of our audience here at Yahoo Finance. So we ran a survey, an online survey. We got about more than 1,200 business owners to tell us their views on this, and about half of them, I was actually surprised it was this high. About half of them said they think they will hire more people if their tax bill goes down, if they get these tax cuts, about half said they would invest more. In general, close to half said they expect they would actually pay more, give raises because they have the money to do it. And, you know, this is mostly smaller businesses where this is not Fortune 500 CEOs mostly. But it's mostly people who have businesses between, let's say, 50 people or fewer. But those small businesses make up the vast majority of all businesses in the United States. So we think we got a really nice window into what, the people who really run companies, and employ the majority of Americans think about these tax cuts. They're pretty optimistic.
That's interesting. So that 50% then, that's a good number?
I would say it is. Yeah. You have to apply a little bit of skepticism here because there is virtually no evidence that trickle-down tax cuts, which these tax cuts are. You know, you give the owners of businesses and shareholders of businesses tax cuts, and you hope that somehow trickles down to ordinary people. There's almost no evidence that when this has happened in the past, that it has actually increased economic growth very much. Now, it does make some people better off. It clearly will clearly benefit what we call the shareholder class, which is people who own stocks or have some stake in the prospects for companies, whether public or private. So I don't think there's any reason, economists are basically saying we don't think it's going to be any different this time. I mean, these tax cuts do not really go to very much to ordinary families. I mean, they're going to get a little bit of a tax cut, but the majority of the money is going to go to businesses. So we've got business owners telling us, yes, they are going to hire more, they are going to spend more, they're going to purchase more equipment, they're going to give more raises. But we've got economists saying, well, that may be true in an anecdotal sense, but in the past, when we've had similar tax cuts, it really hasn't boosted economic growth very much.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman about his piece entitled, Half of Companies Say They'd Hire More If Trump Cuts Their Taxes. I found it interesting that it was mostly small businesses who said that. It strikes me that their relationships with employees are more intimate than, say, at a large company, right, where the CEO might have to answer to shareholders who are demanding this.
I think that's a good insight, Gordon. And I would also add that as part of this survey, we didn't really publish this because we can't. It's too complicated. But we also asked some open-ended questions, just giving people a chance to say, without us saying it has to be multiple choice, what do you think, what would be the best kind of tax, what would be the best policy to help your employees and things like that. And we did get people, some owners saying, I actually want to give something back to my employees. Number one, because maybe I want them to get a raise. It's been hard to give them raises in the past, so I really would like to give them a little, let them share in this. But number two, this is also something that came up, is a lot of businesses feel they have to sort of richen the pot a little bit for their workers because that's the only way to keep them.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, the verdict in the Kate Steinle case. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. An illegal immigrant from Mexico has been acquitted of murder and manslaughter by a San Francisco jury in the fatal shooting of Kate Steinle. Her case was a focal point for the debate over sanctuary cities. Acquitted of the most serious charges was 45-year-old Jose Garcia Zarate, who had been deported 5 times. San Franciscans were surprised by the verdict.
It's shocking that someone would get away with shooting a gun and murdering somebody and get away with it, really.
Defense attorneys successfully argued that Mr. Garcia Zarate found the gun and it accidentally discharged, and that the bullet ricocheted off the ground before hitting Ms. Steinle in the back. Public defender Jeff Adachi.
There was a tremendous amount of misinformation that was spread about this case from day one. You had then candidate Trump espousing that, this was an intentional shooting.
The jury, while acquitting Mr. Garcia Zarate of murder, manslaughter, and assault charges, found him guilty only of the lesser charge of being a felon in possession of a firearm. He could get 16 months to 3 years. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Court and Senate Republicans are trying to meet competing demands of holdout GOP senators for a tax overhaul package expected to add $1 trillion to the nation's deficit over 10 years. GOP leaders have been making major changes up to the last minute, including one that would roll back some of the tax cuts after 6 years to appease deficit hawks. House Speaker Paul Ryan remains optimistic.
I am very confident that we can get this done this year.
But Democratic Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey says this bill would put future generations on the hook.
We see other countries out-Americaning us, taking what is the very idea of the American dream, that every generation should do better than the one before, and showing more progress toward that dream than we are.
Meanwhile, House Republican leaders today will propose a short-term patch to keep the government funded through December 22nd while they work on a detailed two-year budget deal. After months of clashes on policy and personality, President Trump is considering ousting Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and replacing him with CIA Director Mike Pompeo less than a year into the job. Sources say top economic advisor Gary Cohn and son-in-law Jared Kushner could also be among those who depart the administration. Federal prosecutors have asked for a 60-year prison sentence for Larry Nassar, the Michigan sports doctor who was caught with child pornography while under investigation for sexually assaulting female gymnasts. Nassar will be sentenced for child porn crimes on December 7th after pleading guilty last week to molesting young girls. He worked for USA Gymnastics. The head of FEMA says the wave of recent natural disasters must redefine the agency's role, and he called on localities to be more prepared to shoulder crises. Brock Long told Congress the scale of assisting victims and rebuilding damaged areas has busted budgets and strained resources, and the more the nation's emergency response must fall on its citizenry. Maybe he can come back. Tiger Woods, within three shots of the lead at the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas in his first tournament since his fourth back surgery.
I was very thankful this morning. I was in my head thanking all the people that have really helped me and gave me a chance to come back and play this round again.
Wood shot a 3-under-69.
Really? 3-under-69. Like, that doesn't seem fair. Did they do something in that back surgery? That
he fourth can... back surgery.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Incredible. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. The Transportation Security Administration escaped Thanksgiving without major airport bottlenecks, but the agency still faces big challenges. What's ahead for flyers in the coming weeks for the Christmas and New Year's holidays? Here's Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. Scott, your crystal ball.
Well, I think things are changing. Because of some really bad test results that they had that just came out recently, they're starting to make changes, and they're going to accelerate some other changes. And so I think when you get into the Christmas New Year's travel season, where you have a lot of travelers who are unfamiliar with the procedures to begin with, and now you've changed some procedures, we've seen this in the past, there's a good probability that that the lines will slow down and they'll get stuck. And in some ways Thanksgiving, because it's so compressed into a few days, you can really staff up with overtime, and that's what they did. The Christmas holiday season, much more spread out. So who's to say that a certain Saturday, a certain Sunday, a certain Tuesday, or whatever it's going to be, and it gets tougher to really have peak staffing for the whole, 2-week period.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. His piece is called "What Will Tighter Airport Security Mean for You?" We're looking for looking at the upcoming holidays. Got it. All right. So strip it down here. What are we looking at when we show up at the airport over the coming weeks?
Well, I think the big change is that in some cities already, and in a growing number of cities, what travelers will find if they're not in the pre-check program is screeners telling them that they have to take all their electronics out of their bags. They may not be familiar with that. And things like food or books or sort of a rotating list of things, but particularly food. And the idea is to declutter those overstuffed carry-on bags and provide a cleaner X-ray image of them when they go through. People are going to, you know, people say, well, why do I need to take my iPad out? I didn't have to do that before, or things like that. And my cell phones, and that back and forth can really slow things down. One other change that we do know of, and there are some that we don't know of, but one other change we do know of is that I think there's going to be enhanced screening for people who have orthopedic casts on, a broken leg, that kind of situation.
Wheelchairs, too. It's Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, December 1. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Delay for the Senate tax reform bill. Rumors about the future of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, the illegal who killed Kate Steinle, is acquitted of murder and assault. Hawaii today is testing warning sirens to prepare for a possible missile attack by North Korea. The World Cup draw is today. Cowboys clobbered the Redskins in the Thursday night game. Titanic returns to theaters today. And the Swiss village that will pay you $70,000 to live there. That story in about 20 minutes. Amid the manufactured controversies, lurid distractions, and conspiracy theories, the Donald Trump presidency is better than it may appear. That's according to Rich Lowry, contributing editor at Politico magazine. Rich, what do you mean?
Well, if you just went by his Twitter feed, you would think everything is spinning out of control and he's giving a vent to his worst impulses and the country is about to collapse in a heap thanks to the ravings of this mad king. And that's just the fact is that's not how he's governing. And you know, there's some overlap between his Twitter feed and his governing style, but not a lot. So I think he differentiates these two things, and everyone else should as well.
If the president did not operate a Twitter account at all, how much differently might things appear?
I think, you know, this could be exaggeration, but I think his approval rating would be about 10 points higher.
Is that really that much, huh?
It comes up constantly in these focus groups where people are asked. They say, I hate his tweeting, which is a way of saying not just that they hate his tweeting, that they wish he would behave more conventionally and presidentially. So, you know, I don't think it's sinking his presidency, but it's definitely hampering him. And most of it, you know, some of these tweets are cunning, and he kind of picks, you know, good culture war fights for his purposes, but a lot of it is just for his psychic gratification with no upside whatsoever. Mm.
You're right, too, that the presidency operates on a largely separate track than his Twitter feed and his other off-script interjections and pronouncements. Meaning what? Give a couple examples there.
Well, I mean, if he wants to bomb North Korea tomorrow, right? He's got to give the orders to the military. He's got to talk to his advisors about it, who would implement this decision and consider it very carefully. I mean, there are a lot of filters there. He wants to tweet, he can just tweet. No one's stopping him. You know, John Kelly, whose role is to discipline the White House and run it on a better basis, has said, I don't even try to mess with his Twitter account. So there he could just pop off as he likes, without any filter, without any consequence. And that's just not how the government works, and the government is a much more intricate and bulky machine, even with someone like Donald Trump at the head of it.
Mm. We're speaking with Rich Lowry, editor at National Review, also a contributing editor with Politico magazine. He's written a piece entitled "The Trump Presidency Isn't Nearly as Bad as It Sounds." How about on the legislative front? I know you tackled that as well. What might tax reform do for him with that kind of legislative victory?
Well, it'll be a victory, which is no small thing. I think this bill on the corporate side will help economic growth at the margins, all things being equal. You know, things often aren't equal. There are a lot of other factors that influence the economy, obviously, but it should help growth somewhat and help wages somewhat. So that's good. Politically, I think it's mostly just avoiding a downside where you'd have a lot of the party supporters just quitting on the party in disgust if they, you know, have unified control of government and the first year achieve absolutely nothing legislatively. So it'll keep those supporters on board, and otherwise I'm not sure how much he gets them because it's not actually a popular bill.
Mm. What of his social media presence say in the coming year or so? Will he continue this pace, you think, or I don't know,
this is just the way he operates, and it's not going to stop ever. You know, he'll be 95 years old and, you know, have been the ex-president for 20 years or something, and he'll still be doing this. And a friend of his a couple months ago I was talking to and said, "Rich, you know, the thing you need to understand about him, his whole life, basically, he wakes up every morning and just doesn't want to be bored, is desperate not to be bored." Mm. So I think a lot of these tweets and these controversies, we're all thinking, oh, this is so self-defeating, this is so unnecessary, why is he doing it? But for him, he's just stirring the pot to entertain himself and to watch the world go crazy around him. So he's not going to stop doing this. And there is some political purpose to him. You know, there is part of his base that really likes this.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons that it's bonded to him. So that's another factor that's on his mind. But, you know, this is the new abnormal, as I say, and it's going to be this way for another 3 to 7 years.
Thanks, Rich. Rich Lowry, contributing editor at Politico magazine. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can also follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. Might as well jump. It's Friday.
Yes.
Why not? Feeling good.
No better reason, right? As far as I'm concerned.
Agreed. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, 'tis the season for giving, not just to our friends and loved ones, but to charities as well. One college student's well-meaning gesture on social media, however, appears to have gone awry, leaving her on the hook for over $200,000. 19-year-old Danny Messina, who was a student at Washington State University, said she wanted to do something charitable for Thanksgiving, so she posted on Twitter that she would donate to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, 50 cents for every retweet and 25 cents for every like. Messina said she hadn't expected the tweet to go viral, but it did, quickly amassing $210,000 worth of retweets and likes before she finally posted that she was cutting off the total. She told CBS News she had originally planned on donating about $1,000. She says the massive total is a bit out of her budget, so she started a GoFundMe to help raise the money she promised to St. Jude's. And as of this morning, the fund has amassed over $60,000 in just 4 days, with donations still pouring in.
Okay.
So much to like about this story. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you know, think about this. And, you know, number one, she did this in the first place. She was going to donate $1,000 of her own money anyway, which for a college student is might as well be $1 million.
Sure.
And then because of this now, at least $60,000 is going to go to St. Jude's, and who knows how much more in the coming days. So
that's
very cool story.
Yeah, a couple of good angles there. And one of the most impressive ones, as you mentioned, having $1,000 as a college student.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have needed a GoFundMe account just to raise that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, 19-year-old college student, I mean, just out of high school, basically.
Right.
You know, pledging that much of her money, you know, like a year's worth of money for most of us at that time of our lives.
Well, this is certainly some added work, because you'll have to continue to manage that GoFundMe site, right?
Yes.
With those things, you want to, you know, constantly update it and make it look fresh.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Let people know what's going on. So a little extra work for the college kid, too.
That is true. But again, all for a good cause. And we know, Gordon, that Philadelphia fans have been feeling good this season. Philadelphia football fans have been feeling good this season, but that doesn't mean that they are about to go and flout superstition. Philly.com reports that construction workers have placed a small statue of Philadelphia's founder atop the city's newest skyscraper in an effort to save the NFL leading Eagles from a fabled jinx. The William Penn figurine was affixed to the Comcast Tower's highest beam on Monday after builders decided that waiting for a topping off ceremony was too risky. Believers in the curse of Billy Penn say it doomed the city's sports teams for decades after the city's first skyscraper broke tradition and rose higher than the William Penn statue topping City Hall. In 2007, the situation was rectified with a statuette placed atop a taller skyscraper. The next year, the Phillies won the World Series.
Whoa.
So when construction of the new 1,100-foot-tall tower broke the new height record, workers were eager to restore Penn to his rightful perch.
I see. So let me just explore this for just a minute so
sure.
we have full disclosure here. You are a diehard Giants fan.
I am.
This week, as part of this program, you aired an interview with Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay.
Yes.
Who was basically saying the Eagles may be prepared to go to the Super Bowl this year.
That is just fantastic.
Now, you have come back and discussed this jinx in Philadelphia as a Giants fan.
Right.
It must be
you're
asked.
Trying to say there is some sort of coincidence here.
Let me just say, it must be asked. Are you trying to undo the magic of the Eagles this season?
I can't imagine wanting to do that for our friends in Philadelphia.
No further questions, Your Honor. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Hey, the holidays are fast approaching. Order gifts for everyone on your list with the click of a mouse. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code DEAL in the search bar. That's 75% off. Omaha Steaks offers the most flavorful, tender-aged beef, aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavors of the cuts, hand-trimmed and vacuum-sealed. They also have veggies, desserts, appetizers, fresh seafood, and so much more. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings for our listeners. Listen to everything that you'll get for less than $50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus four additional kielbasa sausages free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code DEAL in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit. Thanks for being with us. The media industry, as you know, has come under fire about sexual assault and misconduct involving men, including Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, Matt Lauer. But MarketWatch says the worst offenders actually work in the food service and retail industries. The Center for American Progress analyzed data on sexual harassment charges in the private sector over the last decade. Retail was second on the list, followed by manufacturing. Note that retail is the most common career in the U.S., followed by food prep. Still, 66% of female restaurant employees reported having been sexually harassed by managers. I suspect women are more likely to report a restaurant boss than a famous personality, right? Because they see a chance to get another job in the food industry. They may not feel that way about the entertainment industry. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Florida majority Republicans striving to get a major tax bill through the Senate have hit a snag. Working furiously to get the measure passed by the end of the week, lawmakers face a host of new unresolved issues after an official congressional analysis found that the plan would modestly expand the economy but cover less than a third of its cost. That fails to meet the party's promise that it would pay for itself through faster growth. One possible change to the bill would insert a clause rolling back some tax cuts after 6 years. The White House is facing the prospect of another round of senior departures in the coming weeks as President Trump approaches his one-year anniversary in office. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, the former Exxon CEO who has struggled to get along with Trump, is likely to leave. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
When the president loses confidence in someone, they will no longer serve in the capacity that they're in. The president was here today with the Secretary of State. They engaged in a foreign leader visit and are continuing to work together.
Others potentially on their way out include National Economic Council Director Gary Cohn, advisor and son-in-law Jared Kushner, and Deputy Chief of Staff Rick Dearborn. The homeless Mexican immigrant who was pilloried by then-candidate Donald Trump after he was accused of fatally shooting a woman on a San Francisco pier has been found not guilty of murder. Jose Zarate was accused in a case that galvanized anti-immigration forces and forced San Francisco officials to defend their sanctuary city policy. Catherine Steinle died when she was shot on July 1, 2015, on a pier in the tourist-friendly Embarcadero District. The bullet that killed Steinle ricocheted off the pier's concrete walkway before it struck her. House Democrats are calling on Michigan Congressman John Conyers to resign. Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi characterized the multiple accusations against the 88-year-old Conyers, which included repeated propositions for sex, as serious, disappointing, and very credible. Jim Nabors made good on his last name when he brought Gomer Pyle to the Andy Griffith Show. His big-hearted, ever-cheery character was a neighborly fit in the easygoing town of Mayberry.
Golly!
Nabors, who died yesterday at 87, starred in the 60s show Gomer Pyle, USMC. He also hosted a variety show for two seasons starting in 1969.
Oh, I did not realize that. Very good. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. There's a tiny town in Switzerland that will pay you to live there. The Alpine hamlet of Albanen is so desperate for new residents that it voted yesterday to offer $70,000 for a family of four to settle there. USA Today says in the first referendum of its kind, 100 of the 248 residents showed up to vote, and 71 of them approved a proposal to pay $25,000 to each adult and $10,000 per child to live in that picturesque village. To qualify, though, you have to be younger than 45, Swiss citizens or permanent residents, and be willing to buy or build a house that costs at least $200,000. They must also commit to living in Albanen for at least a decade. If they leave earlier, you got to refund the money. The mayor says offering a monetary incentive to newcomers is an investment in our future, since new arrivals will boost the local economy with taxes and spending. By the way, if Switzerland is not your kind of place, the Italian town of Candela is paying $2,300 to newcomers. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.